certainly suited her very well, but that had nothing to do with this continued use of it, whatever anybody said. Peppino and she had been the most devoted couple for over 25 years, and her grief at his loss was heartfelt. She missed him constantly and keenly. But months ago now, she, with her very vital and active personality, had felt a most natural craving to immerse herself again in all those thrilling interests which made life in this Elizabethan village of Rhizome so exciting a business, and she had not yet been able to make up her mind to take the plunge she longed for. Though she had not made a luxury out of the tokens of grief, she had perhaps made, ever so slightly, a stunt of them. For instance, there was that bookshop on the green, Ye Sign of Ye Daffodil, under the imprint of which Peppino had published his severely limited edition Fugitive Lyrics and Pensieri Persi. A full 6 months after his death, Lucia had been walking past it with Georgie Pilson, and had seen in the window a book she would have liked to purchase. But next to it on the shelf was the thin volume of Peppino's Pensieri Persi, and frankly, it had been rather stuntish of her to falter on the threshold, and with eyes that were doing their best to swim, to say to Georgie, "I can't quite face going in, Georgie. Weak of me, I know, but there it is. Will you please just pop in, Caro, and ask them to send me Beethoven's Days of Boyhood? I will stroll on." So Georgie had pressed her hand and done this errand for her, and of course he had repeated this pathetic little incident to others. Tasteful embroideries had been tacked onto it, and it was soon known all over Rhizome that poor Lucia had gone into Ye Sign of Ye Daffodil to buy the book about Beethoven's boyhood, and had been so sadly affected by the sight of Peppino's poems, in their rough brown linen cover, with dark green tape to tie them up with, although she constantly saw the same volume in her own house, that she had quite broken down. Some said that sal volatile had been administered. Similarly, she had never been able to bring herself to have a game of golf, or to resume her Dante readings, and having thus established the impression that her life had been completely smashed up, it had been hard to decide that, on Tuesday or Wednesday next, she would begin to glue it together again. In consequence, she had remained in as many pieces as before. Like a sensible woman, she was very careful of her physical health, and since this stunt of mourning made it impossible for her to play golf or take brisk walks, she sent for a very illuminating little book called An Ideal System of Calisthenics for Those No Longer Young, and in a secluded glade of her garden she exposed as much of herself as was proper to the invigorating action of the sun, when there was any, and had long bouts of skipping, and kicked and jerked and swayed her trunk gracefully and vigorously in accordance with the instructions laid down. The effect was most satisfactory, and at the very, very back of her mind she conceived it possible that some day she might conduct calisthenic classes for those ladies of Rhizome who were no longer young. Then there was the greater matter of the Elizabethan fete to be held in August next, when Rhizome would be swarming with tourists. The idea of it had been entirely Lucia's, and there had been several meetings of the fete committee, of which naturally she was president, before Peppino's death. She had planned the great scene in it. This was to be Queen Elizabeth's visit to the Golden Hind, when, on the completion of Francis Drake's circumnavigation of the world, Her Majesty went to dine with him on board his ship at Deptford and knighted him. The Golden Hind was to be moored in the pond on the village green, or, more accurately, a platform on piles was to be built there in the shape of a ship's deck, with masts and rudder and cannons and bulwarks and banners and ancients, particularly ancients. The pond would be an admirable stage, for rows of benches would be put up all round it, and everybody would see beautifully. The Queen's procession, with trumpeters and men-at-arms and ladies of the court, was planned to start from the Hurst, which was Lucia's house, and make its glittering and melodious way across the green to Deptford, to the sound of madrigals and medieval marches. Lucia would impersonate the Queen, Peppino following her as Raleigh.